job known to me. Sue to come forward, and then I guess followed by Patricia.
Yep, thank you. A joke.
Erin, can you turn some of those lights off? Thanks.
So I'd like to just thank Reverend John for reaching out and inviting us. And initially, he had just wanted Patricia to come, and I said, oh, wait. So Patricia's got the Seniors House Calls program, which she will talk about, but I needed to talk to you about how healthcare in the community has been reorganized in the last couple years, because I don't know that you all know that. So I'm going to talk to you about what primary healthcare is, so which I need to go to the beginning, which might help. So where I'm going to talk to you about primary healthcare. Ooh, a microphone.
You sound like I feel like a star.
So primary healthcare mission is providing everyday support for individuals and the community to assist you in better coordinating your own health. What does that mean? So our commitment is provide coordinated health services that are client-centered, community-designed, and team-delivered. A lot of words. We're hoping to provide the right service, the right provider, the right place at the right time. So what does that mean to you? What are your healthcare needs, and what can we bring to you? So we want to better connect with you and what you feel your healthcare needs are, and not have you have to go end up at the acute care sites and the hospitals all the time. So we're trying to look at that and bring healthcare closer to where you are and what your needs are. So I'll explain that more as we go along. So when we looked at this, you guys are probably better on the computer than I am, but it looks at things. So this is what primary health care means. So we were directed from the ministry and the federal government. As you all know, the seniors population is growing. The health care deficit is growing right along with it. And how can we better provide care? And many, many of the provinces in Canada are going to a primary health care model of care. So the way we looked at how we were going to build our primary health care model is we first of all pulled a lot of data, and we talked about the determinants of well-being. What are the things that you think contribute to your health? So I'm not going to do all the talking. We're going to have an interactive session. So what do you feel we should have been looking at to figure out how the health in the communities are built? What would you say? What should we look at? Age of the population, possibly. What else? Yeah?
I think general needs, because sometimes there are younger people who have a health problem for a short period of time but need some help.
Yeah, the needs. We looked at the level of education of people. We looked at annual salaries. We looked at this as it related to different communities within the city of Regina and the surrounding area. So about 5 or 6 years ago, we started two models of primary health care. The first one was at Touchwood Qu'Appelle. So the Fort Qu'Appelle Belcarrière area was a model where they started to create the primary health care team. And then they spread it into the city. So the next one was Central. I'm going to show you these maps, and you'll understand where all these are. But have you all, who's heard of the Meadow Primary Health Care Clinic right across from the Paso Hospital? You have? So that was one of our first primary health care sites. That was a model that was funded by the government. Let's get an entire multidisciplinary team, not just a doctor, but a whole bunch of different disciplines in there to help serve the people in that community. So if you think about the different pockets, the different communities in Regina, do you think their health needs are all the same? No. We needed to really react to that. If the care that is needed for the people who live in Creekside, for instance, is it the same as those who live in North Central? No. So their care and what we bring to them needs to look different, and it needs to react to what their health needs are, as you had said. So we had to get all those little, that data, and we put that together. So we took that data, and we created our primary health care teams, because we found out, we even took data, what were the hospital admissions? And according to postal codes, what conditions were taking them to the hospital? So we could create teams in those pockets in the city that reacted to that. So, for instance, if we had hospital admissions due to mental health concerns, we probably need more counselors in that area to help them. If we had hospital admissions for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, we need to create something out there that was going to react to that, so those in the community, you're not going to end up at the hospital. We're going to give you the care you need so you don't need that hospital admission, that you're going to maybe do your rehab and get the right care out in the community. So that's how we created our teams. And then we thought, okay, now, how do we build our networks? And networks are actual physical boundaries. Now we're talking geographical area. What does that look like? So I'm going to show you how that works. And so most of your time, hopefully, is going to be spent at the bottom of this pyramid, where you're going to be hopefully looking after yourself. I say that in a way, so if you're not feeling well, where do you go first? If you're not feeling well, where do you go first? This table.
Your own doctor.
Who else could you go to? Say that again?
Medi-clinic,
yeah. So if you're just not sure if your prescription is right, you could go to the Safeway Pharmacy. There's another place, right? So that's what we hope to do, but how many people have their own doctors? Right? Who isn't attached to a doctor? So then you're going to a Medi-clinic, aren't you? Because you don't have a choice. How many go straight to emergency departments? Maybe some do that because they don't have their own doctors. Well, then our emergency departments are backed up, right? So these are the kind of things that we had to address and figure out. So we're hoping that there's enough out there, that we build enough out there, that you guys can stay at the bottom of the pyramid and not access that tippy top where it's the hospital specialty care ER. Okay? Who wants to go to the hospital? They want to stay at home, right? So we use these are some of the determinants of life, of well-being. Some call it the determinants of health. So lifestyle choices, your level of education, your income, we talked about your spiritual connection. You guys have a great support group here. That contributes to your well-being and how you feel. So that's, you never take that lightly. That's part of the things that we look at. When I looked at what's in my network, I'm going to map out how many doctor's offices I have, but I'm also going to map out how many churches I have, how many gyms I have, how many community centers I have, where the libraries are, where the schools are, because all that contributes to the health of that community and that individual. So, can you relate to these kind of bubbles in your own life? You know, do you all live in a safe community? We're not all fortunate in the city that we can say we're in a safe community. What, do you have a local, you know, have to get in your car and drive a ways to get what you need for your doctor or your pharmacist? Or can you walk there? How many people can't drive? It's all something that we need to take into consideration, and how can we get you what you need? So this is started. It's not complete yet. Some are more complete than others, and I'll explain that. So here's a big map of what we did. So Regina-Capel Health Region includes all this. So if you look way up, you can see that there's a lake in the middle. So we go all the way up to Lipton, Raymore-Lestock. We're going all the way out to Mooseman. We go down south to Milestone, and then we have the Grand Coulee, Regina Beach, all through there. That's the Regina-Capel Health Region. So we looked at that and pulled all our data in, and then we started dividing it geographically. So there's six, we call them networks. So they're just areas of Regina-Capel. So there's three urban networks, and there's three rural networks. So the one for the furthest east is called Prairie East. Then we have Touchwood Coppell, which is as the Belcaris Fort Coppell area. And then the one that's yellow is Twin Valleys. And then in Regina, we didn't get real creative with our names. This is Regina. So I'm the director of a network. So I'm the director of the South Network, and I'm pink. So anything you see that's pink is mine. Green is central, blue is north. We just called it north, central, and south. So you can look on there, where do you live? You know that that's your network. We're trying to build services in each network that start looking the same. So I'll give you, you can see that mine is pretty darn big. And I've got White City, Belgoni, Pilot Butte, Milestone, Grand Coulee. That's mine as well. So it's really, really big. Why is mine really, really big and maybe Central's isn't? Any guess? Fewer people where? In the South? No, I've got the most population. Think about the determinants of well-being. Why do you think I would have the biggest one? I got the most seniors in mine, you're right. It's got to do with mobility and your income level, believe it or not, because the people in the South usually can get in a car and get to their... Okay? North is similar, not exactly, but Central, they've got pockets in there where they've got to get things closer because there's not a lot of people in there that have got a high income or good mobility, that sort of thing. So in the old days, we used to be just home care. And home care used to have an office at 4211 Albert Street. I don't know if anybody ever went there to get maybe a dressing changed or some stitches taken out. Well, that's not there anymore. So, but my head office is, and the people that are serving north are now in an office in the north. And the people that are serving central are in offices in central. So they're getting closer to where you are. So then our staff can, they're not driving so much. I'll give you a little funding issue. We were paying so much in travel because everyone started at 4211 Albert Street and drove up to the north end. And so that care time we could have been giving, but we're in the car driving. So we've moved those people up. They're now in central, or they're now in north, and they don't have to drive so much, and they're just serving the people in their little area. So they're getting to know their neighborhoods, and they're getting to know their neighbors, and they're getting to know their people and their neighbors so they can respond to their needs better. So each network has quite a number of people in it, different disciplines. There's just that South Network in a bigger thing. So this church, the reason I'm here, it's in my network, but you might not live in my network. So you have to think about, where do I live? Okay, so this is how the population breaks down. So this is 211 data, because we need another census, don't we? Anyway, so 2007 in population for Regina and the surrounding rural, like I said. So if you go to the South Network, way at the bottom over here, the 65 and plus is 14,000 people. I have the most seniors. We have a lot of personal care homes, big ones in my network. But the total population is 96, so we are the biggest in population and square mileage, I guess. So that's how that breaks down. I have the most staff because you have the most people. So this is what I have in my network. So we've got home care, which, we've got home care nursing and home services, which is your continuing care aides that will come and get people out of bed, help them get dressed, and their personal care needs. Private care might be utilized. I don't have the private care, but you guys utilize that as part of your team. So who's private that you utilize right now? You know the answer to this question, Mr. Pharmacist. So you all access a pharmacist, that's private care. right? It's in your network, and we're starting to liaise more with. So how many got a flu shot from a pharmacist this year? Right? Did that happen last year? No. So that's perfect. We used to have to do that. Population and public health. So that's where, you took your kids to get your immunizations. It's now in our network. It's not separate anymore because we need that in the neighborhood. We need those young families to be able to go and get their shots in their neighborhood. Facility-based services, that's your doctor's offices, that's the Meadow Clinic, that's El Ritchie Community Center, that's the public health office in the north end that's on Wascana Street, that's the public health office in Park Street that's on the east end. There's four directions in North Central. Patricia's going to tell you where she is. She's got some spots to treat people. We've got 1056 Albert Street. They're everywhere. We've got another one, Park Street. So we're starting to sort of branch out to get things closer. Chronic disease support, we're starting to really launch chronic disease programs. So for COPD, diabetes, that sort of thing. And we're liaison with the health promotion team, and they've left a lot of stuff here at the start, but they've got in Forever in Motion programs, which are seniors-led, volunteer-led fitness programs. They've got Living with Chronic Diseases program, all that sort of things we're liaisoning with. We used to like work in silos in the RQHR, and we're realizing, you know what, we're better as a team. So that's how you build your team. Family support, how many lean on their families for their health? Tons, right? You reach out to your family, and then community. This is a community. You're leaning on each other for support and for your help. So your team, depending on what your issue is, can look different than the guy the person next to you. It's what you need. So when you said, how do you determine it? It's what you need at the time. Well, hopefully we have a team in place that can help that. Questions? You get it? So this is some of the team we have. So we've got health counselors, which sometimes some in North, they've got health counselors that are hired by their Regina Capel that are sitting in a private physician's office right now. So the one thing our physician said is we don't have enough help with mental health concerns. And it's really hard for us to get into mental health and addictions. It's really hard. Unless you have a major mental health, it's hard. They're working at it. Don't get me wrong. They're getting better. But just your day-to-day stuff that maybe doesn't trigger that, they need help. So we're now starting to put health counselors into doctor's offices in your networks. Nutrition support, we have a dietitian. Medication management, so that's our nurses are always making sure when they're going to take you on and start looking after you that the meds that you should be on, and what you're on, and what the pharmacist thinks you're on, and what your family doctor thinks you're on. That you're not getting prescriptions from all the place. That's done the first visit. Make sure that that's all looked after. Chronic condition support, again, COPD. We're starting to do more testing, and if we don't know you have COPD, we can't treat you. So we're training way more people to do what we call spirometry testing. That's how you get diagnosed. Mental health and addictions, we do have a connection with them. We have lots of clinic staff. We have case management. We call them assessor coordinators. So they're the ones that will come out and visit you in your home before the nurse maid even gets there and says, okay, what do you need from us? We're going to build your team for you. We have lots of those. And your primary care provider is your physician, if you have one. It could be a nurse practitioner. So there's more of those out there, nurse practitioners. Everyone knows what a nurse practitioner is, right? So that's all I have in terms of, I just wanted you to know how that's been redesigned for networks in the city. So any questions from me? We still supply, yep, go ahead.
When did this all happen?
So the pilots were Touchwood Capel and Central started about 7 years ago in the planning stages, and they've been kind of, Central's been continuing, they're further ahead than I am, so for about 5 years. So that started with the Meadow Clinic and reorganizing that. I was just hired into the South Network in July. So it's the newest one, and I'm just starting to get my feet real dirty and understand my neighborhood and get the teams in place. So, yeah, we still, but home care is still there all along. Yeah.
You mentioned a number of services. How do we access these services?
Okay, we're going to, Patricia's going to tell you that, but you call 7271. Say it again.
7211.
No, that's my phone number. You can't call my phone number. 7311. I do get calls from just everybody because my numbers are they're so the same. 7311. There's a pamphlet up here. So that's one. You just call, tell them your problem, and we'll connect you to where you need. Yeah. Any other questions? Get your flu shot, by the way, if you haven't. It's not too late. Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Patricia.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you all for allowing us to be part of your day here today. I'm going to talk specifically about the response team and more so the article, I guess, here that John was showing you earlier. Some of you may have seen it. It is about the Seniors House Call program. So that is one of the programs that I am managing. Connecting to Care is a hotspotting initiative that was started about a year ago. There was also an article in the Leader Post a couple of weeks ago, working with very complex clients and community with a mobile interdisciplinary team. IV therapy coordination in community is another team, and then Seniors House Calls team. Now am I going to do what you did?
I know.
So this is just a visual of similar to what Sue was speaking with about the primary health care model, really working as interdisciplinary teams, closer to our neighborhoods, closer to the people who need the services. So the Seniors House Calls program, I took this project on. Would have been July of last year. We started the hiring process and started to learn and develop what that project was going to look like, basically with a goal of keeping people over the age of 65 well in community. So really trying to decrease the need for our senior population to visit the acute care system. The program has providers that work 7 days a week. Those providers are nurse practitioners, paramedics, RNs, and more recently we're adding a pharmacist to the team. So as I mentioned, we are serving clients over the age of 65 years old. The goal of this program is to fill gaps in our system. As the primary health care networks continue to develop and we continue to improve our services in your neighborhoods, we recognize that there are still gaps. So some scenarios for this team to be, I guess, triggered to respond to Care for You might be that you're in hospital and you're ready to go home, but the doctor thinks that you might need some supports at home. So we try to reach out to the home care service line, and they might not be able to get into your home for a week. So this team of providers would fill that gap for that week until the regular system could get into your home and start supporting you. Another scenario might be that home care is in your home and seeing you, but maybe you start feeling more unwell. And historically, the next step would be go to emergency. Instead of sending you to emergency, they would call this team. The team would come into your home and manage that acute exacerbation for that feeling of being very unwell in your home, rather than you having to go to emergency. Another scenario might be that you're not feeling well, you've called your family doctor, he can't see you for 2 weeks, And so your only option is to go to ER. You're not feeling well, and you're thinking, wow, I can't get in to see him. I'm not going to drive all over the city and go wait in, you know, various MediClinics. So I'm going to the ER. So instead, you could call the regular system, and that was the number that I shared earlier. There's a handout here. The number is 766-7311. They would speak to you over the phone, and they might trigger our team to respond to you. So there's different scenarios. It's not, right now, a program that you would call directly into. Unfortunately, I think we would be at capacity if we just opened it, because the regular system should be able to support you, and that's what we're working towards. So this is just reiterating what I've said. So you do need to be referred to this team by either the regular home care program, your family physician, or another care provider. That includes the people that answer this phone, the number that I gave you. They can also refer you into our program. But there is, you know, a couple of steps to access us. Future state might change, but that's how it is right now. And again, this is just that number. This is the regular intake number. So you're going to call this number. As you had asked, how do we access any of these services? The services in networks, the services anywhere. This is the one number right now that you're going to call. They're going to ask you some questions. They're going to hopefully point you in the right direction. And one of those directions might be to this particular program. Does anyone have questions?
How do you tie in with e-health? Is that part of the program somewhere, or is it going?
In terms of systems, or what do you mean by e-health?
Well, I was wondering if you could get your results of your tests and stuff like that somehow from
Oh, you're thinking of the patient portal. So not yet. I know what you're talking about now. So yes, future state with e-health, there are tons of changes occurring. One of them, that's called patient portal. He's asking about accessing results of his own tests and his own records, and that is called patient portal, and that is something going on with eHealth, but I don't know what the timeline is for that to be available to you.
I'm just wondering about actual services provided. For example, what happens, and this has happened several times, where seniors or elderly persons been discharged from hospital and sent home in a taxi without any care provided.
Mm-hmm.
Do you actually provide service, somebody there to see if they're all right?
We have done, yes. So the crew of folks at the hospital that would trigger that support, and it has happened exactly as you just described it, they're called SWAT. System-wide admission, discharge, what is it? Yeah, they're working in the hospital, and they assist with the discharges from hospital. And those providers do contact Senior Sales Calls programs for that exact reason. Or home care, yeah.
So I have a question about services. So much of the care is given by caregivers, not by the official agencies. What kind of support services do you give to caregivers? Do you have respite services available? Do you have anything like that to help caregivers?
That's a very good question. So not yet, but we recognize it's needed. And so I think if the caregivers are starting to get tired, they can reach out for help. So 766-7311 and say, "This, I'm struggling, I need some help, I can't care for your partner or whomever it is." And then we would send an assessor coordinator out there to what needs do you have? What can we help you with?
What do you actually do?
Well, it depends whatever you're doing. It's like whatever that person needs that you're caring for, if you're doing that personal care and you're having to get them out of bed and help them have their bath and help them get dressed, we can help you with that.
What about a dementia client?
same thing.
Okay, but what kind of care would you?
Depends what the client needs.
You know, because
depends
on the caregiver will burn out.
Oh, no, I totally understand. And then we can help sort of connect you with day programs or things like that, possibly. Yeah, they have all those tools in their tool belt to be able to do that. But yeah, we would hope the caregivers wouldn't burn out before they call this number.
And Sue, I know I can speak to, we had a circumstance attached to Seniors House Calls program where the nurse practitioner did recognize just that in a client's home. And they actually did organize something with William Booth for some relief for the wife of the client so that she did have a bit of a break. So I know that those services are out there. I think I did hear you're having a speaker from William Booth coming to speak at one of your sessions. I'm pretty certain that that subject will definitely come up at that time. But I do know that service has been provided and specifically attached to a client that was being served by the Senior Self Skills Program.
Yeah. How do you charge for the service?
So the only charge we do is through for home services, and that means when a continuing care aide is providing that care, and then it's based on income. So I wouldn't know the magic formula because the assessor coordinator would determine that with you. So we don't charge for nursing. We don't charge for Patricia's program. We don't charge for the assessor coordinators to come out and see you. We don't charge for therapy to come out and see you. So it's just that day-to-day care that if you need someone to come in and actually help you get to bed and clean up, that sort of thing. We do light house, very light housekeeping. Like we don't clean your house. We pulled that out a number of years ago. But we will do things like, you just need your floor swept, or just drop the garbage off on your way out, or we do heat and serve meals. So if there's a meal that we can throw together that you can just put in and heat, we'll do that. A lot of people access Meals on Wheels, which is through us as well. So that's the kind of services we can provide. There's a lot. Frances has a question.
It's probably already been answered, but is it your local, your own physician that you go to all the time? Is it their responsibility or to refer you to these programs?
Yep, they
and
know where they
are. We cannot access them without their consent, or
you can make the phone call, but it'd be good. Anytime you can involve your entire healthcare team, it'd be best. Like, so yes, your physician definitely could. And there's not stopping you from phoning this number, and the people who answer that phone will tell you what to do. Yeah. Yes.
What happens if you're not 65?
I'm handing this over.
You're a senior and you have the
problem. Yeah, I agree with you. And I'm going to say just a yes to all of that, because the Connecting to Care pilot project that I talked about earlier was a hotspotting initiative that had criteria built around it to work with complex people, no age criteria attached to that project. Seniors House Calls project came after that, and they gave us the strict guidelines of 65, but we know that there are 40-year-olds that present like 70-year-olds in terms of their health condition. We know that there are 70-year-olds who present like 40-year-olds. So there is no hard and fast rule on 65. I'm selling it as a 65 because I have to, but we certainly will not turn down a 50-year-old who is unwell and needs support. Yeah.
Any other
questions?
Can a long-term care facility coordinator phone you if they have a client within their care that needs some support? A lot of these folks that live in these homes don't have doctors.
You're right. We have already been involved with some of the care homes and long-term care to go in as an additional support, especially the paramedics. That's been an interesting one. The community paramedics and their scope of practice is unbelievable. And all of our programs are growing to include more paramedics, because the services that they can provide to a scenario just like that, blood draws, the phlebotomy piece, they can come in and do the blood draw and support the caregivers in those facilities, because those facilities don't have that service typically attached to them. So we have been supporting facilities just like that.
Yeah. And we definitely go in and do IV therapy in long-term care facilities.
So is this post-call program just kind of a layer of regular home care? What's the relationship?
Do you know what? It's a specialized team that's filling a gap that connects with the regular system and with your family provider if you do have one. So it is a small, specialized team that is doing some things different that the regular system doesn't do. But the goal is to only see clients short term, so we don't want to come in and do really unique things that it's unrealistic for the regular system to be able to sustain and for the client to be able to sustain. So, you know, I would say we are sort of an enhanced home care service, if that makes sense.
And just to give you some ideas of what the nurses do through home care, they are going into people's homes, into some, the big private care homes, all of them, and they will do things like medication management. So people who really are too confused to take their medication properly, or are diabetics who can't, they'll go in there and support that, and they'll do dressing changes and just general assessments. On that's what the nursing does. The continuing care aides, or what we call home services, they're the ones that go in to do your day-to-day sort of personal hygiene kind of thing. That's what they do. Yeah.
Are you 24/7, or are you just...
The Seniors Hospitals program is 7 days a week.
24 hours a day?
No, right now, we only have 4 providers on that team right now, trying to serve the whole city. So we have budget right now to manage that. It will grow. So right now we are covering 7 days a week from about 7:30 in the morning until 9:30 p.m. So those are the typical hours, 7 days a week. And the regular system is 7 a.m. until 11 p.m., 7 days a week. So we recognize people don't just need Monday to Friday, so that's why those services right off the bat are 7 days a week, because of that, recognizing that. And as I said, it's a small program, but I'm very confident it's going to grow. It has to. As we know, the population grows, we need to align with that change for sure. And yeah, I think of your comments at the beginning, and I think of Little House on the Prairie when I was younger watching it on TV, and the doctor showing up at the home with his black bag, and I'm thinking, wow, it's interesting. We're starting to almost, it's a cycle, and we're recognizing the importance of taking those services to the clients. So.
Will the nurse practitioner, in certain circumstances, go away and diagnose and prescribe?
Yes. Yeah. The question was, will the nurse practitioner go in, diagnose, and prescribe, and yeah, 100% she's doing that.
Would you just define that? You said you all know what a nurse practitioner is, but just define it in your terms.
So a nurse practitioner, in my head, is a family provider. So I think of general practitioners that are sitting in medical clinics around the city. Basically, a nurse practitioner can prescribe, she can order x-rays, she can order blood work, she can do pretty much at this point everything a general practitioner can do. Some of the restrictions that general practitioners have, GPs, family doctors, they're the same restrictions for the nurse practitioner. There's a couple of, I believe it's MRIs that can't be ordered by either a GP or an NP, and actually NPs are now triplicate form to prescribe some of the narcotics. Yeah. Methadone. Yeah. So it's quite amazing to learn both the nurse practitioner scope of practice and the paramedic scope of practice, because they're wonderful providers who can do just a wide array of services.
So when we had all of the Northern Fire evacuees last summer and we set up a medical clinic at the soccer center at Everest Place, the nurse practitioners pretty much did the entire medical for that whole population, so they rent the clinics.
Any other, just curious, is there a music therapy component, or do you have any music therapy?
No, but they're in long-term care and some of the rehab stuff, yeah. We like a speech therapist, so. So my wish is to have a team like Patricia just described in every network. That's our long-term wish. So right now, she's directly linked with Ministry of Health. They're providing a direct funding source to her. So we just have to keep showing them that we're doing a good job, and hopefully they'll agree.
So does that cover the whole health district then, your service?
The Seniors House Calls program is just Regina right now. So it's the region, but we know that the region expands outside of Regina. Our providers are only serving Regina right now, and I was explaining earlier the reason for that is really capacity and that travel time. And you know, we think, oh, Lumsden's not that far and New York City's not that far, but for travel time right now with the number of providers we have and the capacity piece, we're not really going beyond the borders, well, we're not, of Regina. Yeah. And when I think of the Seniors House Calls team, it's an interdisciplinary team, so as Sue was explaining earlier about the networks, about the neighborhoods, having these large interdisciplinary teams, I think of our team as a small interdisciplinary team that is like a mobile clinic. So instead of you coming to a clinic and seeing the interdisciplinary team, the interdisciplinary team's coming out to your house and they're seeing you. So I always think we're just like a little clinic, but we're on wheels. We're all mobile. Our home base is actually, we just moved in this week, we are at EMS Central, 1350 Albert Street. That's our home base. So we all huddle there, we come there, and then we leave from there. And everybody on the team has a laptop and an iPhone, and they are out and they're working from their vehicles basically the whole day.
One more question. Probably what is the time lapse time between phoning and getting someone to come over here? I'm just thinking of what in terms of emergency, you can still call 911.
Oh, for emergencies, definitely you need to call 911. So it depends what you need. Seniors House Call program is pretty responsive.
So we're part of
It's called Primary Healthcare Response Team because we are responsive. And when a referral comes into the team, there's specific intake questions to understand what the urgency is. So the providers have been able to respond within an hour. Depending on urgency, it's either going to be, you know, within an hour, that day, the next day. So whoever's referring has to understand what their needs are to be able to communicate that so we know how quickly we need to respond. And for someone coming out of the hospital that needs a nurse to come and visit them, we try and meet them at home. Or we have a team called the Transition Home Team. If you're really quite fragile, they'll actually meet you at home and give you extra supports at home for a couple weeks until you're on your feet a little more. But that team at the hospital needs to trigger them. And for just regular, like let's say you have someone going home who needs their medication looked after, their dressings changed, within a day or two, we're finding we can get a nurse out there to do your initial assessment. If you need like regular home services where you're getting that personal hygiene piece in, we usually get them in within a couple of weeks, but it always depends on kind of where you're living and what time of day you want us. Right? So everybody wants us at 7, between 7 and 8 in the morning. Sometimes it's tough those times, but that's the reality.
I want to thank you very much. You can tell, I'm sure, from the number of questions that have been posed. The services that you are offering are much valued. And we are the largest demographic, the fastest growing demographic in Canada. There are more 65-year-olds and older than 15 years and under. And they say that we account for 17% of the Canadian population right now, And I forget what the actual date is, but they said somewhere down the line, we will account for 50% of the Canadian population. And there are needs, there are cries for more programs like are being offered in these two programs here. And many, many people do not know what services they could be called upon, and they are burning themselves out because they are not aware of these programs. So we thank you. We hope that there'll be more publicity about your programs, and that the government will realize they can't run merely on fumes and a few dollars. So, but we thank you very much, Patricia and Sue, for coming.